You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Our next song is by the Nuclear Bubble Wrap, and it's called Pretty Rings. And it's about how our rubbish could make the Earth a ringed planet like Jupiter and Saturn. On our program of August the 9th, we reported the re-entry of a Russian rocket stage that was seen over Melbourne. In that report, I mentioned the existence of metallic spheres that fell over mid-Canterbury near the town of Ashburton. Now, I have seen one of the spheres at the Ashburton Aviation Museum and will post some of my photographs of this sphere ball, or space ball, I should say, on the Space Show website in the next few days. The Space Show website is space.southernfm.com.au. And then you'd go down and scroll down to the 2023 programs. Well, this discussion about the debris display was conducted by Radio New Zealand 2 years ago.
A number of heavy titanium spheres dropped out of the sky and landed in paddocks across Ashburton. Alistair Perkins wrote in to remind us that one of these space balls, my term, is still on display in the Ashburton Aviation Museum. To tell us a bit more about that, I'm joined now by Treasurer of the Ashburton Aviation Museum, Owen Moore. Hello there, Owen.
Hello, Jesse. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm standing here with my hand on the space ball.
Great.
Believe it or not.
Great mental image. Yep.
Yep. And yes, Alistair Perkins is a member of our museum and does a lot of work out here. So amazing, isn't it?
Take us back to 1972.
So 1972, at about 4 o'clock on Friday the 31st of March, the Soviet Space Center launched a rocket that was destined for the planet Venus. But unfortunately, the attempt failed, and this rocket that it had and its payload entered a pretty much a decaying Earth orbit and finally coming down on a track that crossed the South Island pretty much from Manapouri through to Ashburton in that line. People saw the re-entry at about 11 p.m. on the night of April the 2nd, and the next day a metal sphere was found on a Huntingdon farm 5 kilometres south of Ashburton. Now, as you can imagine, this resulted in a huge amount of public interest, and so people went looking and searching, and over the next 18 months, 6 more objects were found stitched between Lake Aviemore and Ashburton.
Wow.
And so they are all over the... They actually all came to the museum at a time, and there was sort of quite a gathering of them here, but we now just have the one that is on permanent loan from the Lindors family. And it's pretty much unusual for them for these spheres to come down. Normally when something comes in like that, they heat up that much. But some of them have come down complete. The one that we have has the fitting where it was attached to the actual spacecraft has been melted away, but the sphere itself is pretty much intact, apart from some big holes that were cut in it, or some little holes that were cut in it, should I say, by the DSIR, when they tried to determine what they were.
Yeah, so the way you tell the story, Owen, is that this Russian spacecraft went up and then it crashed, but actually when these spheres were first discovered, I presume people didn't know they were from a Russian spacecraft.
No, they didn't. But then people would have put together the fact that on the night before or earlier in the week they had seen this big glow coming across the sky, and I think for a while there was quite a bit of interest in just what they were, and nobody quite knew what they were. The book that goes with them, there is a book here about them, says that they were moved around the country from site to site for people to test them under police surveillance because, you know, they could be radioactive or they could be something. So, yeah, a lot of interest was taken in them. But it took a long time to find all 6. It was probably, you know, 18 months or so before they... And there's probably still more out there. Could well be more that have just never been found.
Wow. What are they? What are these spheres? What purpose do they serve on the spaceship?
They're fuel tanks or that's what they believe them to be. There's about 10 or 12 of them go right around the base of this unit, and they're believed to be fuel tanks. Mm-hmm. And they're believed to have come from the DSIR, did quite a bit of work on it. They're believed to be part of the control and propulsion mechanism of the spacecraft. And while the Soviets have not admitted ownership of that, the DSI think they came from the Russian spacecraft Kosmos 482, which was this spacecraft that was heading for Venus but didn't quite get up into the air or up into space in a successful launch.
Has anyone asked, because it was a story I heard on Monday, that they asked or they offered them back to the Russians who were unable to confirm or deny their existence, but I wondered if in the 50 years subsequent, whether you've asked the Russians again, they might be willing to give you a bit
more. I believe that they have. I believe that it is confirmed that they came from that spacecraft, but we don't have any paperwork to say that. But that's how I understand it, that they have. It has been confirmed that they came from that.
Yeah, but they haven't shown up looking for them.
No, exactly. So one of the interesting things we did have was that just about probably a couple of months ago, a chap turned up at our museum, and his name was Dennis O'Brien, and he had been the man that worked for the DSIR and did the report on it. And obviously it had lost a bit of interest in VSIR, because when he left work, he took this report with him when he retired. And so he bought this 300-page report that was all written about them. And so we have all the data. And he also had the bits that were cut out by the DSR to so they could check the metal and decide what it was. So we've got a real amount of history that goes with this one.
How do you value something like this?
Oh, well, yeah. So we don't, really. You just have it. And that's the same with a lot of stuff in our museum. We have a huge amount of things and planes and aircraft and memorabilia, but yeah, as you say, how do you value it? And you can't, really.
Does it arouse a lot of interest from museum visitors?
Yes, it does. It probably does as much as anything. That people walk past it and say, oh, what are they, you know, because there's quite a good display goes with it. So, yeah, it does.
And how and whereabouts in the museum is it displayed?
So we have right down in one of our corners, we have a diorama of what this airfield looked like when it was a training field in the Second World War. So they trained Tiger Moth pilots here. And so it's just right beside that. And so as people walk out from looking at the what the airfield looked like, here's the space ball on a stand right beside it with all its a few pictures around it and all about it. Oh, yeah.
Are you allowed to touch it?
Yes, you certainly are. One of the things that we do in our museum is that we encourage people to touch our aircraft. And it's not the same in a lot of cases. A lot of cases, people, you know, you can't get up and touch them.
Thanks for talking us through some of your exhibits, including this one with a particularly strange and interesting origin story, and extra reason to drop in on you next time people are coming past Ashburton, Owen.
Exactly. And funnily enough, we have a group of people here that have just come to the museum today, and they were just standing here looking at this display of our space ball.
Good to chat to you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Owen Moore is treasurer of the Ashburton Aviation Museum. You're the only place in New Zealand to take a look up close and touch one of these space balls that emerged from Russia in 1972 and somehow found their way to Ashburton. Well, we know how they fell out of the sky.
And that report courtesy of Radio New Zealand. And yes, if you are in Ashburton, do pop in and see the metallic sphere that came from the Russian failed Venus probe. And I'll put my photos up on the web later in the week. Well, let's have a little song here by Baby Zoo, and it's called the Space Debris Song. So here we go. Space Debris Song.
Balloon!